VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
How quickly a week goes by. And we find ourselves here today listening, friends, to yet another Friday news roundup and comment in for Jim Schneider again this week. I am Dalton Windsor. Jim is off to a ministry conference here in our state of Wisconsin. And we, of course, pray for his travel and for the Word of God to go forth as it always does when Jim is speaking. And so we, of course, hope that goes well, and we'll expect a full report from him, God willing, when he returns and will join us next week. Our thanks to Sandy for gathering stories all this past week. We have Dennis in Master Control. We have Molly there at the phones, as we'll open up the phone lines later this hour, and we'll do our best to bring you some of the news of the day and allow you to chime in as well. We're already off to a better start this week than last week. Last week when we started, we had the technical issues here, and we did eventually find out what the problem was, and that was fixed by, it was fixed by our second segment. And so things are already off to a better start, here this week. Unfortunately, I wish we had some better news to get started with here this afternoon when you are hearing this live at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central on this Friday. But we do want to bring right out the gate here. This is some pretty important stuff because this is us here in the heartland, here in the homeland of America. The Daily Wire reporting here, federal law enforcement officials continue to be concerned that terrorists could launch a coordinated attack in the U.S., a coordinated attack that would be similar to the ISIS-K terrorist attack that was carried out last month in Russia. Remember all of that horrible stuff in Russia? Could that happen here? Reuters reporting that FBI Director Christopher Wray was set to relay this warning to the House of Representatives, and he did. He did this on Thursday, and we have just this quick word here.
Our most immediate concern has been that individuals or small groups will draw some kind of twisted inspiration from the events in the Middle East to carry out attacks here at home.
You know, say what you want about this FBI, say what you want about FBI Director Christopher Wray, but he has been being consistent. How many of you would remember, this will take us back to last year, 2023, seems so long ago now, right? Last year when he roundtabled on 60 Minutes with several global intel guys, you know, the equivalent of the FBI in other nations, sat down with our FBI director, and they roundtabled there on a 60-minute special. And what was the subject? The ever-present and growing danger, the terroristic threat here on our soil. And I don't know what could possibly lead someone to think that anything like that could, anything bad could be happening. I mean, The Federalist has been reporting this week, and we captured this audio. This was some happy sounds coming out of Dearborn, Michigan.
El Monte America!
El Monte
America!
I'll stop that clip. That is someone shouting death to America in the streets of America, Dearborn, Michigan. And if this is the first time you've heard this audio this week, it wouldn't really surprise me because they're not going to play it. They're not going to tell us. They're going to share this on the nightly news. I'll play this in its entirety. Not only were protesters in Dearborn, Michigan chanting death to America, but also death to Israel. And this happened last Friday on what is known as Al-Quds Day. Al-Quds Day, a kind of international Islamic Nuremberg rally that was first conceived under Ayatollah Khomeini and his gang during the Islamic Revolution. But from the streets of Dearborn, Michigan, the land of Ford, Ford country, death to America is the chant.
Malcolm X said, and I quote, "We live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth. It's not Genocide Joe that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go. Any system that would allow such atrocities and such devilry to happen and would support it, such a system does not deserve to exist on God's earth."
That is the voice of Tariq Bazie making those statements at this public event there in Dearborn, Michigan, a week ago, last Friday, saying America, one of the rottenest countries on the planet, the entire system has to go, and there were those that were cheering, presumably American citizens, as this man stood with a flag draped behind him, a Palestine flag, black, white, green, again, making these statements on Al-Quds Day. What is Al-Quds Day for them? You wonder the FBI warning of things and we surprised? Listen to this headline, Fox News reporting the FBI arresting an 18-year-old in Idaho, which is a good thing. They've arrested an 18-year-old in Idaho after uncovering his, quote, "truly horrific and violent plot to attack churches in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, this last weekend." And he was doing this in the name or on behalf of ISIS, says the Justice Department. Alexander Mercurio now facing a federal charge of attempting to provide material support or resources to a designated foreign terrorist organization after the FBI says that he devised a plan to incapacitate his father, restrain him using handcuffs, and steal his firearms to use for maximum casualties in an attack that he had been planning to carry out in the northern Idaho resort on Sunday, April the 7th. The defendant allegedly pledging loyalty to ISIS, seeking to attack people attending church in Idaho. Again, a truly horrific plan, which was fortunately detected and thwarted by the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force. And they have a photo with this young man. He's 18. He's a man. They have a photo here with him with I assume this is the ISIS flag behind him. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, if you don't know, it's on the border there of the Idaho and Washington state line. Coeur d'Alene would be just straight east of Spokane, Washington. Happy, obviously. It's good news that this was stopped. But these are the things that are happening on American soil by American-born people. Men, there's an 18-year-old looking for a cause. Boy, now that is a thought. These young people, do they have a cause? Young King David, before he was king, there were, of course, the enemies of God that were shouting down God and Israel and all of that. We know the story well. King David stood up and said, "Is there not a cause? This man is cursing our God." He was cursing them, Israel. And young David went, "Is there not a cause?" And do our young people today have a cause? And I would pray that your young people, my young people, praise the Lord, our young people have the cause of Jesus Christ in their heart and that they have this purpose. But you talk about feeling safe in our country. We have here locally just this week a couple of headlines. Milwaukee school receiving a second bomb threat in 5 days. That from CBS.com, from the Daily Dodge, City of Watertown police responding to an investigative threat on a local church there. We have these headlines just this week. Really brings these things into mind about how safe we can feel anymore here in our country. And you say, well, this is not a new problem. This has been happening since 9/11 and before that. And well, the war right here, unfortunately, at home. We'll shift gears and look to Israel. A lot of news coming out of Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu reiterating earlier this week that Israel will invade Rafah despite the international objections, one of those being from President Biden, as he told Univision that Netanyahu's handling of the war is a, quote, mistake. He also said that Israel should call a ceasefire, but did not link it to the release of hostages held by Hamas. Biden saying, what I'm calling for is Israelis to call for a ceasefire to allow for the next 6 to 8 weeks total access to all food and medicine going into the country. Netanyahu told a group of new army recruits what Israel will do. I give him kudos for leading, at least. Agree or don't. Here's someone that is standing on his convictions and saying, this is what we're going to do, despite what the calls may be. We will complete the elimination of the Hamas battalions, including in Rafah, said Netanyahu. There is no force in the world that will stop us. There are many factors trying to do this, but it will not help because this enemy, after what he has done, speaking of Hamas, will not do it again. Netanyahu saying this Monday, as Israel had set a date for the invasion. And then, you know, Israel has agreed to a ceasefire deal that would see the release of 40 women, elderly, and sick hostages. But Hamas has reportedly told negotiators that it is unable to identify 40 living captives in that category who were kidnapped from Israel now over 6 months ago. Of the more than 240 people who were abducted October 7 of 2023 when Hamas invaded Israel, killing about 1,200 people, about 130 people, including dual nationals, remain captive, according to Israel. However, Hamas has not provided a list of hostages who may be alive, and Israel says more than 30 of the hostages now are presumed dead. 8 Americans were also kidnapped, but at least 2 of them have been confirmed dead. And then to further complicate matters, other terrorist groups in the Gaza, such as the Palestinian Islamic Jihad and the Palestinian civilians, are believed to be holding or to have held captives from Israel. 19 women are being held hostage as well. And there are concerns that many of them are now pregnant, given the reports of the sexual abuse both in Gaza and during that first day's attack in October 7th of 2023. That music means we are up against our first break. We'll come back and spend just a little bit more time on some of those huge headlines that have come out of Israel this week. You're listening to Crosstalk. Thank you for being here.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, as a scientist, is it legitimate to use Scripture in your creation teaching?
Yes, indeed, Chris. In fact, I think it's illegitimate not to. There are times, of course, when a scientific answer is needed. In some of our creation evolution debates on university campuses, we try to limit the arguments to the scientific evidences only. But we never try to hide the fact that we're Bible-believing Christians and are coming at this from a biblical perspective. There is no intent to deceive. Often people who attend these debates have their eyes open to the truth of creation and then are more ready to accept a later witness from Scripture. But keep in mind that Scripture is alive and powerful and able to do mighty things. If we would truly win the argument, we must go back to Genesis without apology as our basis for creation.
For more on the importance of creation, visit our website at icr.org.
Friday news roundup and comments. Thank you for joining us on the VCY America Radio Network. We will get to opening the phone lines, of course, later on and allow you to weigh in. Another headline from Jerusalem Post. Three sons of Hamas leader or of a Hamas leader were killed in an IAF airstrike in Gaza on Wednesday. All three sons, part of Hamas's so-called military wing, the Izzadin al-Qassam Brigades, and Israel, ready to go after any member of Hamas involved in violence, the official saying. Al-Mahadin, a Beirut-based news channel aligned with Iran, quoted Palestinian sources saying the strike had also killed several of the Hamas's leaders' grandchildren. All of Gaza's citizens paying a price, they're saying all of Gaza's citizens paid a price with the blood of their children, including me, he was quoted to have said, as the leader confirming the death of his three sons and three of his grandchildren having been killed in the airstrike. From jihadwatch.org, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, IDF, showing the world that the Al-Shifa Hospital in northern Gaza was full of Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad operatives. It killed 200 of them and captured another 900 people inside the hospital, of whom 500 have been confirmed as members of Hamas and the PIG, Palestinian Islamic Jihad. It also showed the world the huge armory of weapons that were kept by Hamas and the PIG that was inside of that hospital. We're talking mortars, explosive devices, sniper rifles, assault rifles, handguns, and other military equipment. All of that found inside patients' pillows and hospital beds, in drop ceilings and walls of the building. The hospitals were basically a compound. These being the same weapons that the Israeli Defense Force found at the Nasser Hospital shortly after the war began. Now a member of Palestinian Islamic Jihad has confirmed Israeli suspicions. His claim is that the terrorists can be found in all 22 of the hospitals in Gaza. So, I mean, they pretty much understand where they are and where they're hiding out and where, you know, they're always going to be among civilians for their own safety, right? And then when you go to get the bad guys, unfortunately, the civilians, the innocent, pay the great cost. Here's a story of the Biden administration planning to require goods produced in Jewish settlements in the West Bank to be clearly labeled as coming from there as the U.S. continues to increase pressure on Israel amidst the war. A final decision on whether to approve the move has not been made. The move would reverse a policy implemented by the former Trump administration that required goods produced in the West Bank to be labeled as made in Israel. The Times of Israel reporting some 424 U.S. and British airstrikes on targets in Yemen have killed 37 people, wounding 30. The Houthis, who control Yemen's capital and most populous areas, have been attacking ships in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden since last November in what they say is a campaign of solidarity with Palestinians during Israel's war with Hamas, drawing U.S. and British retaliatory strikes since February. The Al-Houthi, in a televised speech saying 90 ships had been targeted in the Red Sea and the drone attacks had increased and expanded to additional regions. WorthyNews.com reporting that Hungary has condemned plans for a NATO military alliance mission in Ukraine. We're shifting gears from an out of Israel into Europe here. Hungary condemning plans for a NATO military alliance mission in Ukraine, saying it could lead to a broader war within the next 6 months. The Hungarian Prime Minister there, Orbán, through a cabinet chief, saying war fever has spread to NATO and its commanders, saying plans for an official mission in Ukraine marked a departure from NATO's previously non-active role in the conflict. Hungary has refused to send weapons to Ukraine, to help it against Russia's invading military. Instead, this man Orban proposing peace talks between Ukraine and Russia to end a war that has killed and injured hundreds of thousands of people. Is anyone telling Putin how to do things like some people are doing to Israel? Is anyone telling Putin how to do things, what he should be doing? Christian Post. Christians in the Ukraine have faced torture, the destruction of their churches, and other horrors at the hands of Russian forces, according to multiple religious freedom advocates who have called on Republican leaders to take notice of the Christians' plight. In a letter to House Speaker Mike Johnson, Dr. Richard Land, the former president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, joined several advocates in asking House Speaker Mike Johnson, to remember the persecuted Christians when considering efforts to support Ukraine. According to the letter, the Russian government has harmed Christians by torturing them, forcibly removing pastors from their positions. They add that Russian soldiers have targeted retired Baptist pastors they believe are not pro-Russia and whom they suspect of being supportive of the West. Dr. Land, noting in his letter that no Baptist churches are left in the Ukrainian city of Melitopol. Quote, "We desire peace, but more than that, we desire a peace that is based on the principles of justice," the letter states in part. "Our God is both perfectly just and the author of perfect peace." Well, we can certainly amen that. Speaking of Speaker Johnson, well, this is another Johnson. Yesterday, Thursday, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin joined 42 of his Senate GOP colleagues in sending a letter to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, calling on the Senate to fulfill its constitutional duty by holding a trial to consider the impeachment of Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. The senator's writing, "Our brave men and women at Customs and Border Protection have worked tirelessly to make our nation safer. Yet with 7.5 million encounters since President Biden took office, our southern border is a national security disaster." They continued, "The House of Representatives has considered this evidence and impeached Secretary Mayorkas. Our constitutional duty requires the Senate to hold a trial. In every previous congressional impeachment of the past 227 years, Congress has been faithful to the process that are set out by the framers. Never before has the Senate abandoned this duty, even when certain members believed the basis for impeachment was tenuous at best." So once again, we see Senator Johnson leading in so many ways and just asking people to wake up and understand our Constitution and the duty that comes with it. In every previous congressional impeachment from the past 227 years, did you hear that? Congress has been faithful to this process. They didn't let something hold it up. They didn't allow politics. Remember that through the years, Republicans and Democrats and independents and arguing back and forth across the aisle, but still at the end of the day, we were all still on the same side. We were all Americans. We had our disagreements, right? We had those things, but not today. Today, it's a whole, you will be canceled, period. And that is a great question to ask and now to have documented through what these senators, what Senator Johnson and 42 other senators, colleagues, are doing, saying, "Fulfill your constitutional duty, Senate. Hold your trial, consider the impeachment of Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Another story here out of, I quickly mentioned this one, since we're talking Ron Johnson. This is a pretty big story in the state of Wisconsin. Yesterday, a federal judge, the Western District of Wisconsin, doing a sentence to 7.5 years in a federal prison. The man who pled guilty to federal charges May the 8th of 2022, the man that firebomb attacked on the Madison office of the Wisconsin Family Action. The man's name, I apologize, I am not even going to attempt to pronounce that, but that tells you a lot here. I cannot even pronounce it. Wish I could. But this man pled guilty to graffitiing a, is that a word? Graffitiing a graffiti of a threatening message on the exterior of the building saying that if abortions are not safe, then you aren't either. Well, that man has been sentenced to 7.5 years in a federal prison. We are coming up against, there's probably another couple of legal stories that we could mention here, coming up against our bottom of the hour break. See if we can get this one in here. The Biden administration still hasn't set a trial date for the man who planned to kill a Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh 2 years ago. You talk about those in the Senate not having their trial for impeachment on Mayorkas. Here's the Biden administration still not setting a trial date for a man who planned to kill a Supreme Court justice 2 years ago. And the legal experts now are questioning why. Why? Why are they slow walking this deal? Why are they slow walking the prosecution of a man who intended to murder Justice Brett Kavanaugh? In June of 2022, 26-year-old California man Nicholas Rosk indicted for attempted murder after allegedly taking a firearm, two magazines loaded with 10 rounds each of 9mm ammunition, 17 rounds of ammunition contained in a plastic bag and a black speed loader, and took all of that and more to Kavanaugh's home in Chevy Chase, Maryland. But before going through with the attempt, calling 911 to report his suicidal thoughts, the possession of a firearm, and the intention to kill a specific United States Supreme Court justice. We still haven't set a date. Excuse me. Joe Biden's administration still hasn't set a trial date for this man. Now the Washington Free Beacon is reporting that 1 year and 9 months after this man's indictment, his case still lacks either a trial date or a plea agreement, and his last court appearance was October 2022. Further, neither prosecutors nor this man's attorneys agreed to comment on the status of the case. You know, I mean, hey, as long as there's no penalty for the crimes or the horrible plans, as long as there's no crime, what's the hurry? Wow. Our Supreme Court justices. A fellow American. Stuff is not getting done in Washington, D.C., friends. We'll be back. The modern state of Israel has been a nation for over 70 years. When she was formed, most Christians believed there was a real connection with what was going on in the Middle East and Bible prophecy that predicts an end-time return of the Jews to their land. In recent years, a noticeable decline has occurred, especially among young evangelicals who question whether modern Israel really relates to end-time Bible prophecy. In the book, The Case for Zionism, author Tommy Ice answers many of the contemporary arguments being used against Israel. He brings together the biblical, historical, and legal arguments for her existence and the prophetic nature and future of Israel. Dr. Ice lays out the case why Christians should support Israel. VCY is offering The Case for Zionism as our way of saying thank you for a donation of $16 or more. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829. We are back on Crosstalk on the VCY America radio network in for Jim Schneider. I am Dalton Windsor. Jim is away today preparing for a conference along with the Wisconsin Christian News. And this is beginning today and will also go throughout the weekend here. And Jim is one of the keynote speakers, and it's a conference with the theme, We Won't Back Down. Many familiar names at this conference that you hear right here on Crosstalk, including Brother Sharam Hadian, Alex Newman, and, of course, our fearless leader here at VCY, Jim Schneider. And we pray for them, pray for travel mercies, and that it be a great time of both fellowship and just encouragement and some great things being discussed. The theme, We Won't Back Down. Busy week here in the studio. Yesterday, Jim visited with Erwin Lutzer, Pastor Dr. Erwin Lutzer, a great program yesterday titled When a Nation Forgets God. And it's actually based on a book of the same title that Pastor Lutzer wrote. You can revisit that or any of the programs from this week when you log on to crosstalkamerica.com, crosstalkamerica.com. Back on Wednesday, we were joined by Matt Staver from Liberty Council. Then on Tuesday, Tom DeWeese was with us, the weaponization of energy and property rights. Wow, was that show loaded up with information and things that we need to know. It's just the things that we are so close to losing in this country, property rights and the weaponization of energy and our property rights and our freedoms and the things we've so worked so hard for. On Monday, we were joined by Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, Jr. Jim and Dr. DeYoung looked at the, Monday was the six-month mark. It's been 6 months since the beginning of the war in Israel. And so all of these programs available on demand, meaning when you demand them. You can have them whenever you want. Listen whenever you want. Crosstalkamerica.com. Crosstalkamerica.com. You can just do an easy, quick download and listen to the whole program. And especially yesterday, that program with Dr. Lutzer, When a Nation Forgets God. That title, When a Nation Forgets God, if that doesn't wrap up everything we're dealing with, we're a nation who has forgotten God. Capital G. We've forgotten God. But there is hope. Yes, there is. There is hope. And if we get time, we might revisit just a little bit of that. And back to these headlines here. Still some international news here. JihadWatch.org. The Clinton administration. There's a blast from the past. We haven't talked about the Clinton administration for a little while. Do you know they had 9 opportunities to take out Osama bin Laden? An article here from Daniel Greenfield with Jihad Watch reminding us of that. The Clinton administration had 9 opportunities to kill Osama bin Laden. Hours before 9/11, President Bill Clinton gave a speech in Australia bragging, I nearly got him once. I nearly got him. And I could have killed him, but I would have had to destroy a little town called Kandahar in Afghanistan, and kill 300 innocent women and children, and then I would have been no better than him. Well, almost 3,000 people died, over 100,000 died in the ensuing conflict, and now Bill Clinton's former chief of staff, probably a familiar name to you, Leon Panetta, remember him? Leon Panetta, Clinton's former chief of staff, served various security roles in the Obama administration, which belatedly got Osama bin Laden. He has now popped up to criticize Israel for being too ready to kill terrorists. Quote, you have to be able to verify, to take time to make sure that information that you're getting is accurate with regards to targets, Panetta told CNN. I have to tell you that in the past, at least in my experience, the Israelis usually fire and then ask questions. What was it that we heard? We've heard this saying before, that right now, today, if all warring nations, if everyone were to lay down their weapons, lay down their arguments, lay it all down, we would have world peace. But if Israel laid down their weapons, laid down all of their arguments and all of their protective measures, there'd be no Israel. That's the truth of it. I believe that may have been even Netanyahu that had recently said that, or said that in the past. Here is something from the Daily Caller. By the way, speaking of calls, 1-800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. We'll try to get to the phones here. Maybe something we're covering that you may want to comment on, add to. Certainly give you the opportunity. 1-800-733-9829. The Daily Caller reporting, this is devastating. Veteran National Public Radio editor Yuri Berliner publishing an essay on Tuesday exposing the government-funded outlet's alleged bias during former President Donald Trump's presidency. I know you're shocked. I know you're shocked by this. Berliner had been at NPR for 25 years, alleging that the outlet was striving to take down Trump during his presidency by citing Russia collusion allegations that were later debunked. He also asserts that all levels of the organization were aligned on the prioritization of race and identity, leading to a lack of viewpoint diversity and increase in diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. Representative Adam Schiff saying, persistent rumors that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia over the election became the catnip that drove reporting, he wrote. At NPR, we hitched our wagon to Trump's most visible antagonist, Representative Adam Schiff. There it is. Okay. Berliner also criticizing the outlet's managing editor for neglecting to cover the Hunter Biden laptop story during the 2020 presidential election, saying, we don't want to waste our time on stories that are not really stories, and we don't want to waste the listeners' and readers' time on stories that are just pure distractions. Meanwhile, they went and they ran with those Russia collusion stories, right? They ran those into the ground that were later debunked. NPR also based reporting on former director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci's statements on the COVID-19 pandemic originating naturally, according to Berliner. Saying, we became fervent members of the team Natural Origin, even declaring that the lab leak had been debunked by scientists. But that wasn't the case. In a related story, Washington Stand, oh, what a headline, and another shocker here. Despite the news organization's claim that diversity is its North Star, we're talking about NPR. Despite the news organization's claim that diversity is its North Star, its D.C. headquarters has 87 Democrats and zero Republicans among its editorial staff. There's plenty more of that article there I could share, but we will just move along here. Looks like George is on the line. Thank you for joining us. George is in Olney, Illinois. George, good afternoon.
Hi, I was just wondering if you, I know that you weren't in the totality area of the eclipse, but did you see the eclipse?
I did. Actually, outside of a studio window with a welder's helmet on, I did get a chance to take a look at that. How about that?
That new moon coincides with the new year that is spoken of in Exodus 12.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I don't know how many people pay any attention to what God says, but he says in the beginning, let this be the first day of the first month, and on the 10th day set aside a lamb and slaughter it between the two evenings. And that was Jesus at the Passover. And I want to remind people that they need to choose their lamb daily.
Well, amen. And, we talk all of these these partisan bickering and arguing that we have here, and we share all of these news stories each and every week. And you know, there's those saying we need the party of the elephant, or the other one says we need the party of the donkey. We need the lamb is what we need. Amen.
The lamb.
We need the lamb of God.
We need to become lions.
Yeah.
Is actually what the lambs need, because we're lambs too.
Yeah, my sheep, Jesus said, my sheep know me and they hear my voice and they follow me. Amen to that. George, thank you for calling and for that reminder. Yeah, we haven't talked at all about the eclipse, not here today. We were talking about it last Friday, you know, in patient excitement that the fact that it was coming up. One thing for sure, it does us all good to look up, does it not? And look away from all the things that so easily beset us and look up at a God who loves us. And you think of how so many things go wrong here that we deal with the things that we mess up, but how with perfection, you know, if that sun was to ever get outside, if this earth was ever to get outside of its orbit, we'd either freeze to death or fry, as they say. And it will be, what do they say, about 20 years until we'll see another eclipse in its totality. I believe August of 2044. We got 20 years until the next one. And then after that, there's several dates that they have out there. But 20 years from now will be when that next solar eclipse will be. Check that out for whatever that is worth. And that's worth a lot. It's definitely neat to look at. And I appreciate Brother Isaac from our building and grounds for helping me get a welding helmet here. I last used a welding helmet that was my dad's to view a eclipse. And I forgot to pick it up, Dad, the last time I was home. I was going to borrow it from you, but I guess maybe next time. 1-800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829, if you'd like to weigh in. Here's something from Just the News. TikTok. You hearing about that? TikTok. That big, you know, social media giant. Senator Maria Cantwell of Washington criticizing the bill that would force TikTok's parent company to divest ownership of the popular social media platform or face a ban because of its ties to the CCP. Cantwell, chairing the Senate Commerce Committee, which would have jurisdiction over the House-passed bill if the Senate Majority Leader refers it to the committee, the TikTok divestment legislation passed overwhelmingly with bipartisan support in the House by a 352-65 margin. Despite the support it garnered, the passage of the bill also galvanized the opposition, which is being led by TikTok. President Biden has indicated that he will sign the bill if and when it arrives on his desk. And there's plenty of support here in the states for something that they're not being so openly telling us about regarding its origin. So, aye, aye, aye. We'll go to the phones next.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Ramadan was observed in the Muslim world, and in Dearborn, Michigan, a couple Islamists got up and gave a speech at a big event. And what were they doing? They were calling for the destruction of Israel and America. They literally were chanting death to Israel. Then they chanted death to America. And one of the Islamic speakers called for the complete collapse of the American system. He sounded like a Marxist. He sounded like somebody from the Weather Underground. But my friends, this is the point. This is why the Islamists, represented by the green and their Islamic jihadi flags and the red of Marxism, are working together. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And now the Islamists and Marxists are openly calling for death to America and the collapse of our free society.
We are back, final segment, and this being the shortest of the show, the shortest segment, if you will. So we'll get to the phones and talk to Alice. Alice, I believe you tried to get in last week, and the call may have gotten something happened. We didn't get you, so thank you for calling back. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to be really positive in this regard. If God before us, who can be against us?
Amen.
I don't know that I heard all of Tom DeWeese, but I heard enough that it could be very scary. But you know, the Bible says if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Oh, may those that name the name of Christ make sure they're wise virgins, and those that aren't, God is still forgiving, not willing that any should perish. Oh, the best help God could give America is truly Holy Ghost conviction that we might repent, and then God could be for us.
If God be for us, who can be against us? What a great reminder today. Thank you, Sister Alice, listening in Arkansas. Derek is in Wyoming. Derek, thanks for calling Crosstalk.
Yeah, Dalton, first-time caller here. I'd just like to make a comment about the Muslims here in Dearborn, Michigan. You know, they cause trouble wherever they go. If you look over there in Europe, they're in France or Great Britain or Sweden or Denmark, no matter where them people move into, they're a bunch of troublemakers. Like there in Denmark, as an example, they make up 5% of the population, but 40% of the crime is committed by the Muslims. 40% of the rapes is committed by the Muslims, and you go over there across the water into Sweden, and it's 90% over there. 90% of the crime in Sweden is committed by the Muslims.
I don't know what sources you're citing from there, but I have heard of many statistics along those that would parallel what you're saying there, Derek. Got to get to the next call, but thank you. Vivian is in Ohio. Thanks for calling, Vivian. You're on Crosstalk.
Yes, I'd like to witness day for good Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you have him in your heart, he's going to lead, direct, and guide all of us, and he knows everything's going on. Don't give up, brothers and sisters, because he's going to get us through this. And us being Christians, as we walk in the Christian walk, people's going to see that, and who knows, we may be a big witness for the Lord, that we could lead others to the Lord just by walking in the Lord.
Well, amen. Let our light so shine,
let
right?
Let it shine, yes.
That's right. Okay.
Praise his name.
Vivian in Ohio, thank you for calling. Randy is in Arkansas. Thanks for calling, Randy.
Yeah, hi. Good program, as usual. Yeah, I just want to say, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the news that aren't good, obviously.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't be surprised. I mean, who is the prince of this world? And who's in charge? You know, basically God is in charge, I agree, but he's kind of given Satan a free reign for a while.
Prince and power of the air, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what did Jesus say? When you see these things happening, look up.
Yeah.
For your redemption draws nigh. And that's what we're looking for, right? That drawing nigh of the redemption of our Savior.
Amen. And James tells us how that we can draw nigh to God, and he draws nigh to us, knowing that he's drawing us now in this Holy Spirit, not willing, as I believe Alice quoted from 2 Peter, God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come
right
to repentance.
Yep.
All right, exactly. Randy in Arkansas, thank you for the call. And so many of these stories, and there are so many, a recent message that I remember hearing from Pastor John MacArthur, and he said that We're really acting upon acting out a Romans 1 platform right now. We have a alternative option of marriage in this country. God says marriage is one man, one woman, right? Well, we're offering many different alternatives to that now. We have a Romans 1 platform. We have in America, we have a bloodthirsty nation that wants to kill the unborn. We have abortion as part of this Romans 1 platform, this having been turned over. He said that we're acting as if a third part of this Romans 1 platform is that we're acting as if there is no God. And what basically that Romans 1 platform is that we're having, and I'm just paraphrasing Dr. MacArthur here, Pastor MacArthur, but we're we have on our platform these things that God hates. And that, my brothers and sisters, is a formula for divine judgment. The things that we are accepting here, that we're, you know, just or not speaking up about, and we get what, you know, we're getting, we get what we get. And yes, it is right to look up. Yes, it is right to, as born again believers, to stay focused, to stand on the promises of God. And I love what Pastor Lutzer shared with us yesterday. And it would be very easy for you and I today to get outside of the peace of God if we are trusting in anything but Him. If we were thinking that the White House is going to fix this, if we were thinking that anybody else is going to fix this, it's not going to happen. But a reminder about the peace of God. This aired just yesterday on Crosstalk.
Because if Jesus is in your boat, so to speak, to use that imagery, then you recognize that He isn't sleeping. He's with you, and He's going to be with you to the end. And after you die, He's going to be welcome you into heavenly kingdoms. So to everyone who's listening today, we do not need to win this culture war in order to be at peace. And there's going to be so much shouting back and forth between now and November, so many accusations, counter-accusations. In the midst of all of this swirl and distraction, could we just take a deep breath and realize that Jesus is in our boat?
Amen.
And that Amen. What we can do is we can handle the storm because He's neither left us nor forsaken us.
Amen. That was Jim's conversation just yesterday with Pastor Erwin Lutzer. The Crosstalk, When a Nation Forgets God. It's from the book of the same title. You can listen to that program on demand now at crosstalkamerica.com. Some great advice to stay in the love of God and the peace of God that, yes, surpasseth all understanding. We thank you for your time today, for tuning in. God willing, Jim will be back with us here. Crosstalk Monday. May you have a great weekend and coming Lord's Day. God bless you.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.